Previously on the Adventures of Cinnamon and Oatmeal. My big bro Cinnamon and I were somehow transported from sunny California to a world of magic, dragons, and trouble. In no time at all, we made some new friends, busted out of a prison, and stopped some banditos from stealing a kid. Along the way, we found a book of interdimensional travel, which might have a way to get us home. But as Cinnamon and I continued our journey, we were ambushed and somehow found ourselves in the middle of a battlefield. With the help of our new friend Joe, we escaped and made it to the town of Round Rock, where we now wait for the council's investigation to begin. You hear the cracking of logs sounding from the fireplace nestled within the tavern. And the light casts its shadows across the dark wood interior. Cinnamon and Oatmeal sit across the table from one another, staring each other down. As Oatmeal grabs his paw and places it fist-like into his other paw. All right, bro. You ready to go for one more round?
Yeah. So, 1, 2, 3, shoot?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, shoot.
Okay, you ready?
Okay. Yeah. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Ooh. Scissors.
Scissors. A very good move. And you hear the crowd around you. Oh,
we have an audience. Nice.
Yeah. And you see some of them are starting to like pass like some like copper and silver pieces between them. Oh, yeah. There's two silver on the green one. Yeah. Okay. give me two coppers on the red. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, bro.
Rock. Paper, scissors,
shoot. Oh. Two rocks. This is insane. The tavern is losing their minds. They're like, oh my God. I can't believe it. They've done this. They have picked the same thing 15 times. I can't believe it. It's a stalemate. Okay. All right. All right, Cinnamon. For real this time. This has got to be the last one.
Okay. I agree.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. It's another rock. Two rocks. How is this possible? I can't believe this. And then through the crowd, you can kind of see Marianne is kind of coming back in. Marianne, who had previously brought you all your food, would be like, oh, okay, sorry, I really hate to break up the game, fellas, but your rooms are finally ready. Oh, okay,
perfect,
great.
All right.
Like, all right, let's go. And everybody in the bar's like, wait a minute, you can't just leave. Come on, get back over here. And Cinnamon and Oatmeal are just kind of, no, what's that? I think the bartender said free drinks on the house. And everybody's like, whoa. Oh, drinks on the house, yes! They start running up to the bar. The bartender is now overwhelmed. Oh, jeez. And Marianne's trying to, like, clear a path. Like, oh, okay, come on, Barry. It's this way. It's like, oh, perfect. Thanks, Marianne.
Lead the way.
The Hidden City presents The Adventures of Cinnamon and Oatmeal. Starring Matthew Jimenez and Samuel Jimenez. Episode 8, The Quick and the Fleeing. So we'll say, for the purposes of this, Cinnamon and Oatmeal have been able to get a long rest. The council is taking a little bit longer to deliberate than you expected. And so rooms were provided to you from Joe. Joe went ahead and paid for a room for you and Cinnamon, nestled safely atop of the tavern.
On top of the tavern? Like the top? Like how tall is it, the whole building?
It's just two stories.
Oh, okay.
There's two stories tall. There are about eight separate rooms. There's about five on top, and then there's some below in kind of like a basement sort of thing. You guys have a corner in the upstairs of the tavern.
Nice.
And it's a nice big bed, you know, so both you and Cinnamon have, so both you and Oatmeal have, lots of rooms to just lounge about. So yeah, both of you have rested, you know, so you got everything back and you're sort of just waiting around. And then you hear a knock.
I get up, move the chair, climb up the chair.
1 second.
Unlock it. Climb down the chair. Move the chair out of the way. Come in.
You see it's Joe, who looks like he got a little bit of sleep. And he's also has a fresh cup of coffee in his hand for himself. Say, hey, Bears. How's it going?
Hey, good morning. Morning, Joe.
Morning. Yeah, well. Yeah, I guess it is morning. Yeah. All right. So just gonna fill you up on what I know. You mind if I sit in this chair?
Sure.
Cool. So he sits down, takes a sip of his coffee. Okay. So as you know, council said they wanted to go up across the hill back into the field where the skirmish happened last night, or I guess two nights ago. Yeah. It's been crazy, guys. They wanted to do that, and they wanted to do that post haste, and needless to say, that didn't happen, so we've kind of just been sitting around doing whatever, right? Well, in the middle of the night, Stefan, our town elder, he took a couple of the city watch up with him to the field to kind of scope the area. Fellas, I don't know what to tell you, but those what'd you call them? Squid bags?
Yeah, the squid bags.
The squid bags that tried to grab us, they were gone. Just some vultures and other carrion creatures, you know, they started getting up at everybody else up there. So they kind of just surveyed the area looking for any sort of information. Fellas, that ship we saw, the blinding light. It came back last night.
What? Where?
Over the field? The field. Yep.
Oh. Wait. But you said Stefan was there. You said Stefan and some city guard were there.
Did it get him?
Yeah. It got all of them except for Stefan. But he's not looking too good. It looks like he was in one of those squids and had to really cut his way out, and he got pretty cut up himself, and he was already pretty high up apparently when he got loose and fell. So yeah, needless to say, the rest of the council is not too happy
Okay, but now they know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the plan? What are we doing next?
And he kind of looks around, cocks his head. He leans in and moves his hands to kind of like to indicate y'all to come closer. So oatmeal, mm-hmm. rattle.
And we all lean in.
Yeah, we all lean in. Ooh, it's like we're sharing secrets. Bears, I don't think the council is going to do anything about this. They, and when I say they, I mean Lady Catelyn, she's very adamant that we not get involved in whatever this is.
What about y'all's people? You just going to let them go?
That's what I'm saying. That's what Stefan is saying. But, you know how, kind of like in a family dynamic, one person, they kind of have the overall authority, you know? It's like mm-hmm. when your mom and dad say we're going to put it to a vote, but then really it's whatever your mom says goes.
Sure.
That's essentially what the council is, and Lady Catelyn's kind of our mom. She doesn't trust magic. She doesn't trust magic users that she doesn't know. And the ones that she does know, well, she trusts them about as far as she can throw them.
Okay, like, I don't know. Look, we're not really from around here, so I don't know a lot about any of these lands, but are we mm-hmm. thinking that was magic? Are we thinking those are magic users who were, like, using the squid bags? Or was that some kind of technology? So we're just supposed to hide from these people? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Unfortunately, that's not for me to decide. You know, I'm just a city guard, but
trust me. And a good one at that, Joe.
You see Joe kind of like sniffles and like brushes underneath his nose. He's like, well, thanks. Thanks for that, Cinnamon. So hang on a second, Joe. If the council is saying they don't want to get involved, but Stefan is hurt, more of your guys were taken, kind of feel like this means we're going to have to take it upon ourselves to do something about this, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Look, I want to do something because I lost a lot of my brothers, a lot of my sisters in arms. They gave their lives, and then some of them were taken to who knows where. I want to get them back. Now, pretty sure in a couple of minutes, there's going to be a new council decree that's going to put a curfew on the town, on Round Rock, for the time being, so that we stay safe. The regular citizens, they don't get caught up in any of this. So whatever we're going to decide to do, we gotta decide soon.
Okay, well, what about Catelyn's mom? Wasn't she supposed to go get her mom? Wasn't she like a magic person?
Yeah, she's a wizard. She's a pretty powerful wizard, you know, but she's also... She's kind of up there, and she's a little kooky. You know, you remember Roderick, you know, the halfling that was the council elder.
Yeah, I remember him. He was very excited, and he was asking us like if Cinnamon and I were like something called like a Warforged or some sort of animated things. Basically, just trying to figure out what the heck we are. But
Yeah, I just, you know. But yeah, he seemed nice. Like,
yeah, he's nice, but he's also pretty eccentric. Lady Vestian, Catelyn's mom. She makes Roderick look like a I don't know, schoolboy. You know, if that makes sense. You know,
say, I think that makes some sense. Like, compared to her, she's a screwball, and he's like a straight laced, hard nosed good cop kind of guy. You know, not doing stuff.
I don't know what a cop is, but sure, yeah. Word is, and again, this is all conjecture. You know, I'm hearing this through grapevines and other grapevines, but word is that the Lady Vestian was pretty excitable about this whole squid bag thing, and she was all gung ho. You know, she was gonna go for it, but she's got a bad cough. We think she's sick. You know, Lady Catelyn thinks that her adventuring days are behind her, and yeah. It's a lot, you know, families are tough, right, yo?
So since Lady Vestian is not up to doing anything about this, neither is Catelyn or the other elders.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's the City Watch commander, you know, Melandra. Obviously, she wants to go do something about it, but her hands are tied. You know, it's all bureaucracy.
Well, we don't have hands. We have paws. Tell me, Joe, Lady Vestian, does she live in town?
Yeah, it's just a little bit on the outskirts, but
maybe Oat and myself should pay her a visit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. You see Joe kind of like, whoa, hang on there, fellas. Look, I get it. I do. But, you know, look, you guys are going to do something. You guys are going to go. Got to play along for a little while. Again, that town decree is going to come out in a couple minutes. You kind of make yourselves known. You guys already had, you know, a heck of a crowd downstairs. Kind of keep up what you're doing, keep up appearances. But if you're gonna do anything, wait till nightfall. That way you guys can like stealth your way in.
Wait, you're asking us to break curfew?
Listen, guys, I'm City Watch. I got your back. Whoa.
Interesting. So you think it's better to break curfew and sneak out to visit Lady Vestian than it is to go in the middle of the day?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. You see, Oatmeal kind of is like shifting around. You hear his rattle.
Very interesting. Well, Joe, we appreciate you. We definitely will consider not doing anything reckless or rash until cover of darkness, like you said. That sound good, Simon?
Yeah. I just feel like there's something we can be doing right now, though.
Hey, you guys have done enough. And I don't want you guys doing anything that's going to get you kicked out of town. Lady Catelyn's putting on a curfew. You know, I can only imagine that soon she's going to want to, you know, maybe protect trade routes and start saying, you know, like, hey, like maybe escorting some unfriendly people, you know, out of town, you know, any newcomers, you know, all that stuff. So you guys just hang out here for a little bit and come up with a plan. I'll be back before nightfall, and then we can go up to Lady Vestian's if you want.
Joe, in your professional opinion,
mm-hmm.
Are we like prisoners here?
Yep.
Well, crap. All right. I see what you're getting at. We're going to wait for the cover of darkness. And then we will sneak out. Any directions you can give us to Lady Vestine's house is actually, honestly, the only lead we have.
If you give me a minute, I might have somebody who can help out with that. And you see Joe kind of like looks outside, like, I like this town. He looks at his coffee cup. Well, I think I need a refill, fellas. You excuse me for a minute. And he just goes outside, opens the door, and right before he closes the door, Marianne comes in a cloak, a gray cloak with the hood up, sneaks in, and Joe closes the door.
And she was the bartender?
She's the waitress downstairs.
Oh, the waitress, right.
Yeah. You didn't catch his name, but there's a dwarf bartender. He's the one who owns the place.
That's right.
So Marianne, this human girl, comes up and says, "Okay, so Joe told me that you guys are kind of going to be prisoners, and I wanted to say, I like you fellas. I think you guys are great, and you're probably going to want to talk to somebody, right? Lady Vestian. She lives. Oh, here. And she like reaches into her apron and she pulls out a very crudely drawn map of town that she wrote kind of like on a napkin. Mm-hmm. She's like, okay, this is where we are right here. And she points and it's kind of like at the bottom on the right. Like, this is where we are. And Lady Vestian, she lives in the house just up here. It's right on the border of the forest. And it's about like a 20-minute hike up north. So here, I'll give you that.
Thank you. Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you, Marianne. You and Joe are doing an awful lot for us. And you know, we just wanted to say thanks. You don't have to. Cinnamon and I, we got this.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I believe in you guys. I've never met anybody like you before, but you know, from the way Joe talks and the way the whole town's kind of in an uproar, things are getting a little weird around here. And I kind of like it. If you bears will, you know, wait, I'll bring y'all some food, or you can come downstairs whenever you like.
Okay. Thank you, Marianne.
Thanks, Marianne. No problem. She like opens the door, immediately like whips off the coat and like folds it really quickly and tucks it up into like a rafter. Kind of like kicks the door closed on her way out.
So it's just us now, right?
Yeah, it's just cinnamon and oatmeal.
Okay, bro. So we're doing this, right?
Yeah. But Cinnamon? I think there's one little problem that kind of went unaddressed with this whole sneaking out under cover of darkness plan.
Uh-huh.
You see Oatmeal stands up, grabs his belly, and starts shaking it, and his little rattle starts going off.
Oh, I know, Oat. I can't forget about that.
Oh, cool. Okay, good, because I almost forgot for a second, but then I sat down and I was like, ooh, that's going to be a problem, but it didn't look like Joe noticed it, and I don't think Joe's noticed this whole time that I've got a rattle in my stomach, bro.
Yeah, we might need some help on the sneaking department, but if Joe says he has our back, maybe he can help us, like, maybe he could go light on the guards or something, like, I don't know, I'm just...
Well, here's my plan. There's going to be everybody like Joe. Okay. Joe said that there's going to be the town crier guy is going to start making proclamations and stuff. I think that's the perfect opportunity for us to sneak out of here.
Because everybody's going to be in the town, right? They're going to be in the square.
So sneaked it out in broad daylight.
Exactly.
Good. Good. Because I feel like I should be doing something right now.
Exactly.
Look, bro, I know we're doing this. I know those people, you know, they need us because obviously no one else is going to do it. But man, they're really leaving us to clean their problem for them. You know, their own people aren't willing to help. So Marianne, Joe, they're good people, but they're essentially leaving us to do all the work. I don't know, man. Just something doesn't feel right about this.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So look, let's just keep our heads up.
Mm-hmm.
Open eyes everywhere. I don't have a good feeling about this. Also, we have no idea what we're going against.
Mm-hmm.
You know, squid bags are one thing, but who knows who's controlling them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll wait for the proclamation, and then we'll boot, scoot, and boogie out of here.
Heck yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, now what? I guess we just wait.
Oh, Yeah, I guess so. Boy, really wish I had a deck of cards right now. And as soon as Oatmeal says that, you hear the bell from like the city watch point.
Uh-huh.
That houses all the city watch guards. The bell starts ringing, and you start hearing like people going out into the streets. Like, oh, what's going on? Yeah, like, wow, Cinnamon, that's perfect timing. Now's our chance. So there's one window, and then there's the door.
Are we on the first floor?
No, you're on the second floor.
Second floor.
Yeah.
I feel like the doors are going to be watched for sure. Can we open the window?
Yes, you can.
Okay, what do I see when I look out?
So as Cinnamon looks out, you can see pretty much just like across the street, you know, which is more businesses, more homes. And everybody is sort of, you know, like, they're all shuffling out, you know, and they're kind of just looking at each other. They're going towards the left, which is towards the giant round rock in the center of the square. And that's where you can also see like city guards and the town crier as he's like, they're kind of setting up a little podium for him to stand on so that he can, you know, read a scroll.
Mm-hmm.
Oatmeal kind of like jumps up to the windowsill with you and nudges his way. Okay. He sees the same thing. He looks to the right.
I guess what I'm looking for is like, I'm looking for one, a way down, and two, any kind of cover from here to like whatever direction is we need to go.
Okay. Give me a perception check.
All right. First roll of the game. 16.
As chance would have it, you look to your right, the next building over, you see that there's very little space between both buildings. There's maybe about a foot's worth of space between the two. So it's not exactly an alleyway. The building next to you has a clothesline, and it's full of clothes.
Nice.
It's got some shirts. It's got some sheets that are hanging on them. The sheets are like a very dark brown. And then it's just got more, you know, like some like dresses, some like undergarments and stuff. And and it leads, it's connected across to the next building.
Okay. Oh, as luck would have it. And I tell him exactly what you just told me.
Whoa. And he looks to his right. Whoa, Cinnamon, you're right. There is a clothesline that's got a bunch of clothes on it.
Okay, so I guess I'm going to start climbing out to head towards that building.
Okay.
Okay. Warm up my paws, and I start going.
I'm going to say I need you to make a stealth check, then.
Stealth check. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rooftop stealth check.
21.
Ooh, okay. Cinnamon, you, as you're pumping yourself up, rubbing your paws, you climb out of the windowsill, look down and see everybody, and they're all eyes forward, you know, awesome. looking towards the rock. And you're able to make your way on top, out on top towards the roof, and you start shuffling across.
Okay. I'm gonna kind of like whisper to Oat,
close the window on your way out.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. So Oatmeal is gonna go next.
Mm-hmm.
Oatmeal is gonna roll a stealth check at disadvantage. That's an 11.
Okay, it's not too bad.
It's not too bad. He kind of has a hard time, you know, like getting in, like out of the windowsill.
Okay.
And as he shuffles, you can hear his little rattle going.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, I really love my rattle, but this is a lot. Oh, and he's reaching, and he's trying real hard to close the window, and it's just like a.
So, like the window's making that noise?
Yeah, the window's making that noise because the way, so you guys are positioned like okay. back to the wall. There's not that much stepping room. He's like,
okay, Cinnamon, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to close it all the way.
That's fine. Let's just go.
Okay. Well, you go. I'm waiting on you.
Oh. Okay. So it's like there's not a lot of room. Then he's right behind me.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm just gonna keep going then.
Okay. I'll say with the stealth, you're okay now. Are you gonna start crossing to the next building?
Yeah, I'm getting out.
Okay, cool. Go ahead and make one more athletics check.
Athletics.
Yeah.
It's not my forte. That's a 5.
Ooh. Okay. So as you're going, you kind of Cinnamon starts to like reach around and realizes that there's about a foot's distance between, thinking like, oh, that's fine, I can do that. You make the leap, but you miscalculate.
Does he look like one of those cats who like just jump and like immediately fall?
Yeah, pretty much. Like you fall, but you're able to still like catch yourself, but you're still on the same building, just hanging by one arm.
Okay, so I'm in that little gap then, that little 1 foot gap.
Yeah, you're in that little 1 foot gap.
Could I, like, if I were to just go down, like, try and, like, since it's only 1 foot, can I try, like, spider climbing down? Both, like, hands, like, paws on each side?
You want a spider to climb down?
Well, yeah. I mean, first, what does it look like down there? Can I get out that way?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's a very narrow slit between the two buildings.
Okay.
It's perfect for you. Yeah. If you just kind of want to like shuffle your way down, it is, you are still on the second story.
Yeah, I know. So I would just go try and just spider climb all the way down to the floor.
Okay. But you want to go down to the floor.
Yeah, I'm assuming. I mean, we're going down either way. It's either that or the clothesline. But at this point, if I'm already here.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, okay. Give me an athletics check then.
Athletics,
mm-hmm.
Not acrobatics.
You know what? I'll say it's acrobatics. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's a dirty 20.
Ooh. Okay. So as you like, kind of fell, and your arm, you're holding on by one arm, you realize that it's technically not that far down from you, and there's also enough space for you to reach out to the other side. So you brace yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Let go of the ledge, brace yourself again, ha! And then you start shuffling your way down.
And then, like, once I get, like, just to, like, one story, once I get halfway, I just slide.
the Mission Impossible theme in your head as you're shuffling down, and then you slide. And Oatmeal doesn't see that. He's like, okay, cool. I think I got it. I'm going to go. And he turns and doesn't see his brother. And man.
Uh-oh.
Oh, he's so sneaky. He's probably over there on that clothesline.
That is what I told him I was going to do. Okay, that's fair enough.
So then Oatmeal is now going to make... Oatmeal will make an athletics because he's gonna try and like nudge his knees, like, okay, I'm bending the knees. Yeah, he's reaching, he's stretching. Like, yeah, you gotta visualize the goal, visualize where you wanna go. Okay, let's do it. And he's gonna make an athletics check to see if he can make this little jump. With a 22,
Oatmeal nice.
He like leaps and then like slides a little bit onto the next ledge.
Mm-hmm. Because what we were saying, he's like 8 inches tall, right? I think.
Yeah, they're about, yeah.
And like Cinnamon's 12 inches, so like he could have used himself as a bridge.
Yeah. But no. Okay, yeah, so... So now we're on two different spots. What do you want to do?
Okay, so how do I... If Oat's going to take the clothesline down, like, how do I meet him? He's got to get to the bottom somewhere.
Well, because the clothesline is going to go across to the other building.
Oh, okay. So if I'm going to... So the clothesline goes across the other building, and then there's a way down from there. That, I guess, that's the plan.
Yeah, pretty much.
How do I get to the other building? Do I have to run out into the open?
You've already slid down. You're in this little crook between these two buildings. You see, you saw the townspeople going to your left, and you're noticing that there are fewer and fewer people passing by. So it looks like the whole town is just about assembled.
Mm-hmm.
From where you're at, you can't really see where. You'd have to peek out your head. And as far as you know, Oatmeal's still up top on the ledge. But right across from you, that's maybe about... It's about like 30 feet to the next.
To that building.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's crossing the street, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything, like trash or something around me, like in that little nook I'm in? Anything I could use, like, to hide with?
Make a perception check.
7.
7. You see some, like, bits of... Like, you see, like, some bits of paper, a giant, like, sort of, like, metal trash can.
Mm-hmm.
And then beside it, you see just, like, a very... It looks just like a wooden box. It's very worn. And one of the sides is, like, busted open. But, yeah, that's about all you can see.
Okay, so I'm going to go to the wooden box.
Okay.
Kick it over. Is there anything in it?
Nope.
Okay. Is it big enough that I can, like, completely hide myself under it?
It's big enough to where you can hide everything except, like, your legs.
Okay. So I'm going to put the box over my head. Now, I can't see through it, right?
Not really.
What, it's made out of wood?
So yeah, it's out of wood. Like, you can see, like, it is... Like, you can kind of see, like, where the slits are kind of, like, broken and uneven. You can kind of peek out of that, but any perception checks that you're going to make, they're going to be at a disadvantage.
Okay, so I'm going to take it to the edge, right where the little nook enters into the street.
Okay.
I'm going to look at the house. It's my target.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to face that direction. I'm going to...
make sure no one's coming before I run out.
Okay. Okay, so as you come up to the thing, you look to your left, you see that there are a lot of people already gathered. They're a good like 50, 60 feet away from you.
Perfect. Okay.
And you look to your right, and in the middle of the street, you see Roderick, the halfling. And he's looking directly at you, very curious.
Oh no.
Very curious. And he's going to like straighten up his collar, frill out his lace sleeves, and he's going to keep on walking.
Oh. All right, Roderick. I'll put a check mark next to your name.
And as he looks at you, he kind of like gives you the slightest head turn and he winks. I'm going to give you Bardic Inspiration.
Ooh. Nice. Okay. Okay, so let's talk about Bardic Inspiration real quick. Or it's not Bardic, it's DM Inspiration. So DM Inspiration is essentially just advantage on one roll. Right? Okay. All right. I'm just bringing that up, audience, because we do have like other things that we haven't really used yet in the game. So because we also have I guess we've been calling them hero points that we haven't used since we're level 3. Right now we have 3d4s we can spend at any point in the game just to, you know, make things a little more cinematic. Okay, so those are hero points. This is DM inspiration. Sure, why not? And I usually last for the game, but I'll see if I need it on this next roll.
Okay.
So I wink back at Roderick. I face the house again. I drop the box down over my head. And I just start running. Like Scooby-Doo, you just see my little red feet underneath this wooden box.
Okay.
And you said it's 30 feet?
Yeah, it's about 30 feet.
Perfect. My speed is 35 feet. Okay, awesome. I'm going to run for it.
Okay, so with this, this is where you'll need to make a stealth check.
Stealth check, okay. A dirty, nope, that's an 18.
An 18, okay. Yeah. I'll say that still passes. You have a good enough line of sight, and right before Roderick passed, you see that the path is pretty clear. So he passes, you drop the box down, and you just bolt it. And now you are across the street at the next building, also inside the little crook between those two buildings.
Okay. And do I see where the clothesline meets this building?
Yeah. You see the clothesline. So it looks like the clothesline is on like a little contraption, that's on like a pulley system.
Yeah.
And so the main operating one is here on this building that you're now at.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to wait for Oatmeal to cross.
Okay. So Oatmeal's still looking down, still looking out. He's like, oh, okay. I don't see Cinnamon. Well, okay. The plan was
to... Do I see Oatmeal from here?
Yeah, you can see Oatmeal. But like the way the wind is kind of going with the clothesline, it's kind of like weaving in and out with like the clothes and the blankets.
Oh.
So it's like both of your visions are obscured.
Okay.
So Oatmeal is going to... attempt to climb across the clothesline.
Okay.
Jeez, I don't even know what this would be.
I mean, if it's just climbing, I think that's athletics.
Yeah, that's gotta be athletics. Okay. That's not too bad. Everyone gets a plus three to this. That is 11.
So you see Oatmeal kind of like, he doesn't look down, but he's like, okay, I got this. I can do this.
Oh no.
Wow, I gotta be almost there, right? And he looks down, he's barely moved. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Let's do, yeah. Okay, we can do this.
Okay, so how far is he able to go on his turn?
On let me see here. Surprisingly, even though it's inch by inch and piecemeal, Oatmeal makes it about halfway.
Nice.
And as you know, you'll notice too that he's moving, like he's moving the pulley system as he's going. So all of the clothes are kind of moving against him, and Oatmeal's able to sort of like, whoa, yeah, oh, okay. And like move around. So like he's moving, like he's moved around the shirt, and right now he is like in the I'll say like the blanket was in the middle of it was in the middle of the pulley. He's now where the blanket was, so he's past that. He's halfway in between the buildings. Yeah.
Can I like parkour my way up to, you said that pulley system? Is it climbable?
It's climbable. This is a wooden building. And it's got enough little like for a human sized creature or any full size creature, it probably wouldn't be because it doesn't look like anything. But you're a teddy bear, and all these little nooks and crannies inside of the wood and stone, they're perfect little paw holes for you.
Yeah,
paw holds. Sorry for you to climb up with you. So yeah, I'll say it's just gonna be. Give me a acrobatics.
Ooh, 12.
You're able to get up to about the ledge on this side of the building. So you're not fully on top of the ledge yet, but you've managed to like climb your way up and now pause on the side of the ledge.
Okay.
And at this point, Oatmeal sees you. Mm-hmm. It's like, it realizes like, did Cinnamon just kind of piecing it together? Did he cross the street? Were we supposed to cross the street? Uh-oh. Okay. Oh, geez. I'm going to keep doing this. Really wish I had somebody to help me out here. Oatmeal can't really do. Okay. You know what? Because of the way Oatmeal's moving, he definitely needs to make another stealth check. It is taking a long time for this. So, on a natural 20, all of the movement and all of the wind and stuff is perfectly covering Oatmeal going like, okay. It's like, you hear like the wind is like, it's very, you know, and Roderick kind of notes that too as well. Like in the back of the crowd, it's like, the wind's kind of howling today, isn't it? It's like, yes. So Oatmeal is still, he's about a third of the way there now. So
a third? I thought he was already half.
Oh, I'm sorry. Other way.
He's going backwards.
He's going backwards. Oh no. Look, math isn't my forte. He's three quarters of the way.
Three quarters of the way. Okay.
Yeah. Now he's three quarters of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm still trying to get to the pulley.
Okay. Okay. Just go ahead. Give me one more athletics or acrobatics, whichever one you want.
Okay, acrobatics always because I want to parkour. It's 18.
18. Okay, you're able to like, kind of like do this. You start shimmying yourself, and then you leap.
Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed style onto. Like the side of the roof, and you grab the pulley system, and then you and so you're there, and then you just start like
pulling it in.
Yeah, yeah. What like It's not hoisting. It's just rolling. I don't know. I don't know how pulleys work.
Is there something to like kick or something to make it like automatically go to just reel him in?
You know what? Yeah, there is. There's a little lever. There's a little lever just below your feet.
I kick it.
You kick it? Okay. Okay, you kick it. So you just, you shimmied, you jumped, you parkoured your way up. And you're there, you're looking, and you see Oatmeal struggling, and you see the little pulley lever, and you kick it. And as that happens, the pulley system, like, strange for a second, and then zoom, it, like, goes. And, like, just like a zip line, Oatmeal is just, like, thrusted, like, through the air. Oh! Through, across the street, and through the window of this other thing. He's there and lands in that room.
Bro, you okay?
Oatmeal's just lying there. You peek inside the room. You see Oatmeal is like slammed into the wall, is now like laying on top of a dresser. He's just there.
I'm okay. That was crazy.
Great job, bro. We gotta keep moving. Let's go.
Okay. So Oatmeal like picks himself up. He picks himself up. He's like, "All right, let's do this." And he like goes out the window again. Okay, do you want to take the rooftops, or do you want to like shimmy your way back down and kind of go through the streets that way?
I say streets.
Streets,
because hopefully there's less people at this point and there's less chances of falling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. In that case, Cinnamon and Oatmeal, let's go ahead and do just one stealth roll.
One stealth roll. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I do have inspiration.
Okay.
And I know how important it is to just get out of town. So I'm going to use the inspiration. Because that was that was an 8. So with the inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, much better. That's a dirty 20.
Dirty 20. Okay. Oatmeal got an 18. So I'll say.
With his disadvantage.
Forgot about that. Okay. The other one was a 17.
Oh, okay.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll just say, for the purposes of time, you guys, you know, you're level 3 now.
And you, yeah, we are.
You're able to like kind of like dip and dodge and like duck inside and through these little crooks and crannies in between these buildings. These are spaces that no human being, no full-size creature could ever possibly fit through and stealth their way through. But you guys are teddy bears, and so you do it with ease. So it takes you the better part of a day.
Hmm.
Because you're essentially where the tavern was is essentially like towards the center of town. You guys had to cross the street, and now you're like just zigzagging your way through the city.
It's fairly big, or it's a small town, but I mean, it's big for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Like definitely bigger than Rafton.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it takes you the better part of a day. And I'll say by now, let's see, it was the morning when we started. Now it's about 3:00. And you guys are in the tall grass, kind of just shuffling your way through, trying to get to Lady Vestian's house.
So we made it out.
Mm-hmm. You made it out.
I'm going to check out the map. And try to align ourselves as best as we can.
Mm-hmm.
to get to the house.
Okay. Let's see. I kind of want to test your map reading skills, but yeah, let's just go ahead. This is just going to be a regular perception.
Perception?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. 19.
Okay. So you can tell, you know, like the map may be crudely drawn, but Marianne knows Round Rock. Mm-hmm. And from where you're at, you can see that now you're in like the stretch, and you can see just on the hill. It's still a good ways away, but you can see Lady Vestian's house.
Mm.
And so you know that like the road is to the left of you, and you guys are still like in the thick of the grass. It'll be much faster if you go on the road, but the grass is providing you with a lot of cover.
Does it look like there's anyone on this road?
As far as you can tell, no. Oatmeal's gonna like peek his head up a little bit and check the road. No. To Oatmeal okay. kind of like peeks his head up and he's like, I think we're good. Like, we don't there's nobody on the road right now.
Okay. I say we take the road.
Okay. Let's huff it.
Okay. So yeah, we run up the road. Okay. But constantly like looking for anyone else, like to if I see anyone, I'm gonna like jump into the side.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So as Cinnamon and Oatmeal run up the road, y'all kind of like dash out of the grass and start running up. Just go ahead and give me one more just flat perception.
Oh man. Eight.
Eight. Okay. Oatmeal or Cinnamon, you are fully focused on getting to the house. Oatmeal, on the other hand, he's able to like kind of like whip his head back. Or he whips his head back, can't see anything. Mm-hmm. Nobody's coming after you. He's like, bro, I think we're in the clear. You make it up to Lady Vestine's house, and you see, like, this is the nicest establishment you've been in.
Hmm.
You know, because Round Rock isn't Rafton, because Rafton is literally just a street.
Right.
Round Rock is a fully functioning town. And it doesn't look like they're hitting hard times or anything like that, but this house looks very out of place. It is beautiful mahogany.
Hmm.
And there is, you can tell, like, as you get up to the house, whatever, like, nature sounds you could hear just vanish. They go away.
Hmm.
It's almost like you're in a little bubble.
I don't know, this whole thing kind of reminds me of like Red Dead Online, where like everything's like old, kind of run down, like old west kind of town.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get to like the New Orleans style city.
Yeah.
You know, everything's like the cobblestone. And mm-hmm. lanterns, and you're like, hey, mm-hmm. this is swanky. So I imagine that's what this feels like.
Yeah. Wow. This house looks really swanky. It's beautiful. Okay. It's like it's got black tile roofing. And you can see on the front door, there is a beautiful, it's a beautiful again, mahogany door with a beautiful like brass doorknob and a brass ring. A brass oval ring that kind of goes like the width of the door, or sorry, the length of the door. And within that brass ring is this beautiful, just cluster of mosaic glass.
Hmm.
And it almost looks like it's moving very slowly. It's not really forming any picture or anything. It's just beautiful, like reds and greens and blues and golds, just sort of commingling and moving around each other.
Okay. I turn to Oat. Bro, what's the plan? We're going to ask her for help, right? Like, even if she can't do anything herself, if she can give us any kind of help to getting those people back.
Yeah.
Okay. This is some kind of wild wizard lady, so be careful with traps. Also, I have no idea what I'm walking into.
I got no idea either.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm ready. I'm ready for anything.
I avoid the doormat. I don't want to step on it at all. I'm assuming there's a doormat. Any respectable person has a doormat.
There is a doormat.
So I just walk around the doormat. Okay. Right to the front door, and I just knock. Doo, 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 doo.
Okay. So you avoid the doormat, and you knock. Oatmeal is going to avoid the doormat as well. Kind of like come up behind you and be like, ah, okay, we're going to. And he's going to knock too. Dunk, dunk, dunk. On Oatmeal's third dunk, the both of you are gone. From the front porch. And you're placed in what looks like a very big and tall sitting room with no doors or windows. There's a beautiful sofa, just like beige with some sort of like gold feathers kind of adorning it. And there's a little floating tray with two cups of tea.
What? Whoa. Magic.
Yeah. Magic is, ooh, whoa, that was weird. This place is kind of cool though. And Oatmeal turns his head to look up, and there is just infinity. It's like this, it's like this living room stretches on to forever.
Oh, wow. What's on the walls?
The walls really don't have anything. It's still the mahogany, the mahogany wood. It kind of looks like it's shaped like an octagon.
Okay. I'm going to look at the tea tray just floating there, even like walk underneath it. Like, mm-hmm. Looking for strings.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's no strings. This thing is fully just floating by itself. Oatmeal is going to pull out his whip, and he's going to just attack one of the walls. He's like, I don't trust this, and I don't like it. So I'm just going to... I want to get out of here or get somebody's attention. So as he raises his arm to throw the whip, he feels the whip just go and it's gone from his paw.
Oh, whoa.
Whoa. That was really cool. Also really scary.
Oat. We are guests in someone's house. We can't go breaking stuff.
Oh.
And he kind of just like turns, drops his paw and is like, sorry. I just got kind of scared. I'm sorry. The tray of tea starts moving towards Cinnamon, just very slowly.
I'll pick up. I'll get some tea. I'll smell it. Does it smell like anything in particular?
Smells like a regular cup of freshly brewed herbal tea. It's got a little bit of honey.
I'll taste it. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
As you taste the tea, the room shrinks back down. The ceiling shrinks back down. The mahogany walls open up. And you are now inside a fully furnished living room with beautiful lanterns, beautiful bookcases built into the walls. You can see out. There's a giant door, a giant doorway that just leads into a hallway. And across from there, it looks like there's a dining room.
Mm-hmm.
And the house is open to you.
You know, literature would have you believe drinking strange liquids would provide you some trippy experience, but actually, I think it made all of this much more believable. I just start drinking the tea now, and I go explore this new part of the house.
You hear a voice come from somewhere that says, "I'm very glad you agree." And you hear a dunk, dunk, dunk. You see, coming from around the doorway, this very small, very old woman in this beautiful, beautiful, like, blue dress with black lace trim all around on, like, her cuffs and the bottom hem of her dress. She has a little black bow, and her hair is tied up. Her white hair is tied up into a little tight bun. And she just stares out at you, and you see one of her eyes is a very cool ocean blue, but the other is a bright and sparkling gold.
Ooh.
I believe you're someone who can help Mr. Cinnamon.
You've heard of me?
Oh, of course I have. It's not every day that there are two little teddy bears running around the countryside, saving towns and little children and getting into scrapes with squid bags. Most interesting.
It's true. We are exciting people.
Indeed. And she's sort of, you see that she has a cane that looks like a tree root, a just like almost pure black tree root. And she's clutching it fairly tightly and just sort of walking into this sitting room with you. And she finds a comfy chair. Now, let's clear some things up.
Oh, okay.
I am under the impression that it is being left to you and your brother to fix some of the goings-on in this village.
That's right.
I don't think that's very fair, do you?
Not at all.
Agreed. Which is why I am going to make you an offer. Oh, I think your brother will probably want to be here for this.
What? And I look around. Is Oatmeal not with me?
Oatmeal isn't with you. And actually, we cut back, and Oatmeal's still in the octagonal room with the infinity ceiling. Be like, what the heck is going on? He's flipping over the sofa. Just like, what's happening? Looking under the tray. He's trying to like pull the tray to the ground. Yeah, yeah. Give me back my brother, you son of a. And then we cut back, and Lady Vestian taps her branch cane onto the floor, and Oatmeal appears right next to you in midair, still hanging on to something invisible. Give me back my brother, you son of... Uh-oh. And hits the ground.
Awesome.
Kind of looks around. Sorry. I'm a little excitable when my brother just kind of vanishes from my side and I'm left in a pretty scary room. It was a very scary room.
It's okay, bro. It's okay. You're back. We were just about to discuss business. Lady Vestian is about to make us an offer. Keep drinking my tea.
Oatmeal sort of like looks around and he sees there is a saucer and a teacup floating right next to him. He's like, grabs it.
Thank you very much.
Ooh, this is nice.
Well, let's get some things out of the way first. I understand that a proclamation, yada yada, is keeping the town of Round Rock under a curfew, as the city council is going to do whatever it will. And someone, Stefan, went to go investigate the squid bags, found what he found, and unfortunately was attacked. And my dear daughter, bless her heart, she just won't see my way. There's something going on outside of our borders. Something terrible is happening in the world, little ones. These squid bags are dropping from the sky and stealing people. Children are going missing. Oatmeal kind of like perks his head up and looks over at Cinnamon. Oh yes. Oh yes. I know quite well what was going on in Rafton. It's not just going on there.
Do you think the squid bags are related to the kids going missing?
You see she kind of stops and turns, and her gold eye shimmers a little brighter and then dims. She looks back and says,
maybe only tangentially. I think there are greater goings on. There's a greater web being woven. They might not be one and the same, but that doesn't mean the thread doesn't connect them. Now,
she puts her staff, she leans it against her chair.
Now, I won't state the obvious for you, but my days of gallivanting, they may very well be behind me. But I have some friends in this wide world of ours who may be willing to help. My offer is this. I understand that you two are looking for a way home.
Yes.
I'm not exactly sure how to get you home, but I can start pointing you in the direction of maybe finding people who do. For that, you will have to leave. And you may have to leave behind the problems of Round Rock. But that doesn't mean that you can't still investigate the goings-on of Round Rock, if you catch my meaning. So, you want to send us somewhere else that's going to help us on our quest, but may also be related to what's happening with Round Rock?
Yes.
Where would we be going? I'm glad you asked.
And she moves her hand and sweeps it across the room, and suddenly the lights dim, and on the carpet you see the little designs start to glow a beautiful luminescent white, and they rise off of the carpet and they start to form a globe. And it turns and it starts to highlight the town of Round Rock. You see it centered in, amongst this giant continent. Lady Vestian says,
I'll tell you what I know. And I'll try not to bore you. This is the continent of Kalmora. It was formed ages past and has no master. There is no king, no queen, no overlord, no dark lord, no deity that rules over this land. It's a land of free people. People go and work and come and do as they please. Round Rock is a very, very small part of this world. But with the freedoms of not having rulers, not true rulers, I know there's some kings and stuff that have sort of placed themselves above everyone, but they're kings in name only. The greatest cities of Kalmora are where the accumulated knowledge and culture of the worlds are nestled. That also means that scum and villainy may run rampant in those cities. To one of these cities where I intend to send you.
Well, Lady Vestian, that's where we work best.
Yeah, this, you know, the traipsing around the countryside, like that's a little, I don't know, we're bears. You know, we kind of stick out like sore thumbs. You know, I kind of feel like the big city is where we belong. Yes, it is one of these cities where I intend to send you. Don't worry about the council. I'll be able to take care of them. And I will inform your friends, Joseph and Marianne. I will let them know that you are on your way and you are safe. You are safe in your getting to where you're going. But again, that is up to you, unless you wish to stay and truly follow in the steps of the council and Stefan and, you know, finding the root of this little predicament that we're in.
Well, we don't know much about this continent that we're on, so we're kind of relying on you just for whatever information you can provide. Well, where are we going? What's the mission? What do we got to do?
Well, you see, she kind of like perks up a little bit. She's like, well, the city I plan to send you is one of the biggest beacons of civilization. It is called Great Spire. This is a city that is almost quite literally built into a single mountain. And it stretches high into the sky.
Whoa.
Great Spire is one of the oldest cities in existence. It is also home to some of the most despicable criminals and villains that have ever walked this earth. So I urge you to tread cautiously.
We can do that.
Now, if you are going, the way to us is only open for a short, limited time. And that time, she moves her wrist, and she moves her arm to sort of reveal a wristwatch on her left hand. That window will close in approximately 5 minutes.
Whoa. Okay. Anything we gotta prep or anything else we should know before we go?
Well,
do we have a contact person over there?
Let me see. She sort of like starts rummaging around. She has on a belt, she has a lot of like little like potions and vials and a little knapsack, and she opens one of the sacks. And she says, yes, your contact is going to be Phaegris. Now, Phaegris is a dwarf wizard. He is something of a master of histories,
and he is going to help you figure out and get your bearings on where you're going, and maybe point you in the direction of whoever's responsible for these ships that are passing over our countryside. Well, so you're sending us to Phaegris, you said, and he's located somewhere in Great Spire. Now, are we going to be like on the outskirts of Great Spire, or are we going to be going like around? Are we going to be like dropped in, you know, or what? And she kind of raises her hand and she says, "You're going to be sent deep inside." This spell is very complicated. Only works maybe once. It's a teleportation spell to a specific point. Now, if I've gauged this correctly, the point you should be going into is going to be in Phaegris's abode. It should be in his sitting room, and he'll be able to help you on your way.
Okay, is there any way to get in contact with you? How do we keep you updated on our progress?
Cinnamon, could you come here for a second?
Okay. I finished the rest of my tea, put it down, and then I walk over.
You, like, pass through the globe of light, and the light sort of just, like, bounces around you and, like, dances all around your fur, and then you come up to Lady Vestian, and she sort of slumps down a little to, like, meet you face to face. She says, "Cinnamon, there are perils ahead, but I trust that you and your brother will be able to take care of them." And she, like, goes to, like, pat your head, and she gives you a little bit of a scratch, and then she pulls her hand behind your ear and then comes out with an obsidian black coin. "If you should ever need to contact me, think it. Put your intent upon this coin, and I will be able to help. It may not be me personally, but it may be one of my friends. And we all like to talk to each other, because that's what us old people do. We talk." And she gives you the coin.
Cool. Thanks.
Omen was like, wait, do I get a coin? "I'm sorry, it's one per adventurer. And unfortunately, I am out." "Oh, well, okay. But please, drink the tea." "Okay." So Omeo finishes his tea. "Well, I guess that's it. Unless you have any more questions, you should depart."
I feel a little bad leaving Round Rock and everyone in its current state, but I get it. I didn't realize this problem was on this scale. So, okay. Let's do it out.
"Yeah, I agree. You tell Joe we're sorry that we kind of did this without him." Lady Vestian again puts her hand and says, "Don't worry, I'll tell Joseph that you're in good hands." And again, the way things are in the council, they were going to deliberate potentially for weeks. That's no sort of plan. We need to find out what happened to our soldiers. So I'm working my way around and seeing what I can find. Sending you to Great Spire, that's part of the plan. So you do something for us, and finding any bit of information you can. And then, once you send that to us, Phaegris will start helping you finding your way home.
Okay. Let's do this.
Fantastic. And she snaps. And the light in the room goes back to normal, and the lights for the globe just dissipate and return to the floor. "Well, let's get you going."
And she picks herself up with her cane and she shuffles and she leads you. This is going to be your portal to Great Spire. And it's a little teeny tiny cupboard door.
Cool. Okay.
Now, this was built many, many years ago, and I've been trying to figure out who exactly could fit through this door. I certainly can't. So I don't think it's a coincidence that the two of you little bears are just the right size. And she pulls a little tiny key out of her dress and sticks it into the lock and opens the door. And you just see, like, a blank white void. Your destination is on the other side. Once you cross the threshold, it should take about a second for you to gather yourselves. But there won't be a way back.
Lady Vestian, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for the help. We'll be in touch.
Take care. Little bears, she kind of pats each of your heads, and give Phaegris my regards.
Will do.
Off you go.
And I kind of just do the hesitant one big step into the void, Indiana Jones style.
Mm-hmm.
And I go through.
You go through, and Oatmeal is about to go, and he's like, okay, again, I'm sorry about the tea. Also, can I have my whip back? Oh, yes. You already have it. What? Oh, it's on the side. It's on his side. Like, wow, you're great wizards. I like magic. Magic's really cool. Maybe you should learn some then. You think I could? And she like scoots Oatmeal into the door with her cane. Dunk. What? Ah! You see blinding white light. You don't hit anything. You're not falling onto the floor. It's almost definitely just stepping into another room, except you can't see for a second, and then slowly everything starts to fade in. Make a perception check to see what you can see.
21.
Nice. 16 for Oatmeal. So with those, your vision comes to clearer first. The Lady Vestian said that you were going to be inside a dwarf wizard's abode. Cinnamon, you're not in a dwarf wizard's abode.
Uh-oh.
You're in a cell.
Oh, crap.
There's a little pile of hay in the corner. There's giant iron bars. And just to your left, and then nothing but just like pure stone wall around you.
What the? I start kicking the hay. I start looking around, pushing on all the walls.
Yeah, Oatmeal's like, oh, what the? Like trying to like, oh, maybe there's a secret passageway. He's elbowing things.
Did we get sold out? What's going on?
I don't get it. I thought she was nice. That lady was nice.
Am I able to squeeze through the bars?
You're able to squeeze through the bars.
Excellent. They don't make many of these cages for teddy bears.
Oatmeal follows suit like, oh, man. Oh, man. If only it was this easy in the obsidian prison. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. So you see, you're in just a regular cell block. There's about six other cells next to you, but they're all empty. There's two doors, one in front of you and one in back. And there's just like tiny like little chandeliers lit by candles, just kind of floating in this hallway.
I'm gonna head to a door, you know, something that looks like a way out.
Okay, well, there's two doors. There's one in front and there's one behind you.
Go to the one in front.
Okay. So as you go to the one in front, you see it is the busiest. It's almost like one of those kitchen doors, where you can see just like a, there's like a giant little like porthole. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that, like, it's not really meant to be locked, but there is something that's sort of obscuring the path. So as you sort of jump up, you climb up and you look to the top of the porthole and you can see out, and it looks like this very, very intricate, like, kitchen.
Hmm.
And you see all manner of creatures. You see these giant orcs just sort of like chopping vegetables. And you see a couple of elves sort of like cooking, like using these giant ladles to like move soup. It's very, very busy, very hectic. You see little halfling and goblin servers coming out, grabbing trays and like moving. And nobody's really saying anything to each other, but they don't look like prisoners. Just looks like they're working. It looks like they're very intent on like getting their work done.
Okay, so I look back to the cells. Does mm-hmm. this look like prison cells or more like livestock cells?
It looks more like livestock.
Huh. So I guess this is... But they're empty right now.
They're empty right now.
Maybe they eat whatever they store here?
Oh, check the other door. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Jinx!
For Oatmeal, it takes a little bit longer, but he climbs up to the porthole and he sees out and he tells you,
okay, so from what I can see, this looks like a docking bay. I see a lot of carts, a lot of carriages, a lot of animals that are being fed hay, but they kind of just look like the animals that are pulling the carts and stuff.
Do you see a lot of people?
Yeah, there's kind of a lot of people, but they look really busy.
Okay, I'm going to join Oatmeal at that door.
Yeah, so as you go, Oatmeal kind of like jumps down to let you jump mm-hmm. up. And you can see, you see exactly what he sees. It's just this large expanse of a dock. And you can't really tell from this angle, but you can see workers that are like passing your door. And they're like, they're going out of sight. So you can only imagine that there are like other doors like this that lead to little small cells like this.
Okay. Is the door unlocked or locked?
This one is unlocked.
Okay. Bro, stay close. I don't know what we're doing. Open the door and I slowly walk out.
Okay. So you open the door. Immediately you see there are these two, on the opposite side of the door, these two giant stacks of like boxes, like crates. And then out past those, it's maybe about 10 feet in front of you, is where the giant like loading bay area is. And this is full of kind of the same thing. All manner of creatures, you know, are just moving carts. You see this big orc, this is like, hey, move aside there. You see a couple of goblins, like they're rolling barrels and stuff. It's kind of the classic thing of like, you see like a goblin, like on top of a barrel, just kind of like dancing on it. And then it's like rolling another way. You see these like very, very beefy, like dwarves. They're sitting on what's essentially like the end of a carriage, and they're like just throwing some cards down, and they're throwing some copper and some silver pieces down, you know, kind of gambling, doing all that. It's very smoky, and you can see to the left there's a giant a furnace that a bunch of people are just shoveling coal into. And then to the right, you can still see like there's an almost endless expanse of like carriages and carts and things.
I kind of just stay by the doorway of, okay, we're supposed to meet with this guy. Phagris? Was that his name?
Phagris, yeah.
We're supposed to meet with Phagris. This was supposed to be his home, but this doesn't look like someone's home.
Yeah, this looks like this looks like an establishment. This looks like some kind of fancy diner or something.
Do I see any signs of any kind, like saying like what's what, like what this place is, or
You see a lot of signage going on here. It's all written in scripts that you don't understand. But just from like the coloring and the way they're sort of just like kind of short bursts of like sentences, it looks like this is like this is a working area. This is a docking bay. So any signage is just going to say like exit or danger or something. But you can't discern if there's like any directional or any sort of like directionary telling you where to go.
I think we should ask someone for directions. Is there someone who looks like they're in charge? Someone barking orders or one of those? You always see the people walking around with like a
clipboard?
Clipboard. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Where's the guy with the clipboard? That's who I'm looking for.
Okay. Yeah. You see. Yeah. There is a tall human woman, beautiful brown skin, wearing like this cool like leather jacket. She's got like studded spikes going along the side of her pants. And her hair is kind of like she's got some of it in a ponytail, but the rest of it is just like dark black, just going down her shoulders and the length of her back. And she's talking to what looks like three goblins stacked on top of each other. And there's a little goblin of like a cigar and a little like you know, that like green visor cap,
the, like the bookie hat.
Yeah, the bookie cap. Like, yeah, they're just like they're going back and forth at it, and it's like it seems like it's pretty civil, but yeah, it's that these are the people who look the most out of place here, so you can kind of assume they're in charge.
Cool. Hey, you see that lady with the nice brown skin and the kind of punk rock look?
Yeah.
Matthew would totally have a crush on her. Let's go talk to her.
Okay, for sure.
So as you guys go out there, you see that like not a lot of the workers are paying attention to you. Mm-hmm. They sort of just see you guys out of the peripheries because they're workers, you know. Yeah. There's a bunch of people coming in and out, like they're just trying to do their job, get out. You see like there's another orc who kind of like really notices y'all but doesn't register y'all, and says like, hey, move aside, there's small fries. He's moving like big old cart there, and he kind of like looks back at y'all and then
called us?
Yeah, he called us small fries.
That would imply that there are fries of other sizes in this world.
Whoa.
It can't be that bad, right?
You think there's like a large fry?
I don't know, maybe.
Whoa, I haven't had fries in forever.
I know. Put it on the to-do list, though.
Okay.
And we keep going.
As you're walking, Oatmeal pulls out his little pad book and starts writing fries.
Okay.
Yeah, so you guys make it up there. Who do you talk to first?
The girl, for sure.
The girl. Okay.
Well, are they still talking to each other?
Yeah, they're still talking to each other.
I want to get close, but like not close enough where like I'm interrupting them. Like I'm kind of giving them their privacy to finish their business, just out of courtesy at first.
Mm-hmm.
Can I hear what they're talking about?
Make a perception check.
Six.
No, you can kind of hear them going like in and out of Goblin.
Oh.
But you can kind of tell that they're also speaking what is essentially English. Mm-hmm. So you can pick up that it's kind of just like a dual speak, but you can't really discern whatever it is they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say though, so there are about three other goblins that are sort of like on their hands and knees stacked on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
The one in the middle is going to pick up his head a little bit and sees you and Oatmeal and kind of like cocks its head and then starts like shaking his body and starts muttering stuff like, yeah, gap, gap, yeah, gap. And you see the other ones kind of like, and they start looking at him, and then they start looking at you. The goblin boss kind of looked down and be like, "Hey, what's all the ruckus down there?" And he looks up and he sees you two. And then the woman turns and she clocks both of you guys.
Mm-hmm. I'm just with there waving my paw.
The goblin boss picks up his hand and starts waving it back, but looking at you like, well, very peculiar.
Well, it's that awkward moment because I'm waving at her, uh-huh, and I see him waving at me. So I turn my body to adjust to wave to him.
So now you're both waving, and Oatmeal comes up to you and says, "Aunt, large fries, cheeseburger? Question mark." Mm, okay.
Good point.
Cool. And see, whoa. Hi. So Oatmeal picks up his hand, starts waving it, and says hi. And that sort of brings the whole dock to a stop.
Crap.
And they, like, everybody turns and just looks in your direction.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just going to wait here till y'all finished your business. I was waiting to talk to the lady with the clipboard. Don't mind us.
Yeah, we just kind of want to know where this guy named Phaedrus is. We're supposed to be in his house. And this doesn't look like a house.
I'm just quiet. I'm just waiting for them to say or do something.
The goblins all just kind of look back at the woman. The woman snaps. And the crates from behind y'all explode out. And these four, you can basically see they're like they're knights in this like jet black steel plate armor, but they have black cloaks wrapped around like most of their body. They burst out of these crates and they immediately surround both Cinnamon and Oatmeal. And these, they pull from their cloaks these large spears and point them spear tip towards you two.
whoa, calm down. Jeez, I told you, we didn't mean to interrupt. Oh, man.
So the woman fully turns to face both of y'all, and she says, "You're not supposed to be here."
I mean, technically, you're right.
Honestly, we just got a little lost, a little turned around. But all right, we already interrupted. I wanted y'all to finish your conversation. But yes, we're looking for Phaedrus. We just kind of got lost. I'm sorry if that's a big deal. And he's looking at the big old spear and the really cool looking knights all in black.
Do you want to make a perception check on the knights?
Sure.
Okay.
That's 19.
You see there's almost an inky black void underneath their visors. You can barely make out two like white little marbles that may be eyes. But as you're this close to them and as everything has stopped, you can hear a sort of like a clockwork mechanism, mm-hmm, and this mechanical whirling. And you can see that like even they, as they surround you, aren't exactly still. Their bodies are kind of twitching back and forth and up and down as if they're wound up.
Awesome. Okay.
I'll be forward with you right now. This woman rolled a natural 20. That's why you're surrounded.
On
she, what? She got a surprise round on you guys.
Oh, crap. Okay.
So she looks at the two of you, has said, "You're not supposed to be here."
And I don't know how you know about Phaegris, but I can assure you, whatever plans you have, they stop right here. Drop your weapons and come with me. I'm going to need both of you guys to make athletics checks.
Athletics checks? Oh, boy. Are they trying to attack us?
They're trying to grab you.
Okay, athletics. Let's see here. Nope, that's a 3.
Okay, so as you guys turn, the two sentinels that are just right behind you all, they reach down, grab you and Oatmeal by the scruff of your necks, and just raise you up. Like I said, you're not supposed to be here. I understand that you're lost and confused, but that doesn't negate the fact that you're in an area where you're not supposed to be, and I have a lot of questions too. So now you're going to come with me, and we're going to have a very polite conversation.
All right. He just throws Cinnamon throws down his arms like a fed up teenager.
Oatmeal's not exactly struggling, but he's just kind of like swinging, holding on to like the cloak. And he's like, question, during this conversation, can we have some fries? Because we're actually really hungry.
Music was provided by Sirenscape, because epic games need epic sound. Visit them at sirenscape.com. Additional music was provided by Epidemic Sound, because their ready-to-use tracks are sick. Arcane Anthems, because if you're gonna use an anthem, you better make it arcane. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review. Join us next time for another adventure of Cinnamon and Oatmeal. Peace and pancakes.